Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time where we set aside in our lives on Wednesday night to come together in fellowship one with another in the Word of God. A time where we have been committed for several years to meet up, to fellowship. God has afforded us this opportunity, and it's because of his grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we're still able to come on week after week after week. And for that, we have to thank God for his bountiful blessings. Thank him for the fellowship. Thank him for his word. And of course, thank him for his son. And even his Holy Spirit that he allows to live and dwell inside of us, leading and guiding us, convicting us, teaching us. What a mighty God we serve. We have to first thank God for just allowing us to come back. And I thank each and every one of you for your faithfulness, for being with us. There's many things you could have been doing. But you decided to show up tonight because I can only for us here on earth all the way through eternity. And I thank God for being our Heavenly Father and allowing us to be his children. He allowed us, if we accept his son, to be heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of Genesis. You know, I often say to you guys, I believe in Genesis to Revelation, but I haven't been able to achieve it. But I continue to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. And sometimes we have to go back to continue our journey to go forward. So tonight we're in the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Again, I thank each and every one of you because it appears that God is going to allow us to in a brand new year. And it's a blessing. We know everybody didn't make it, but God still have us here. And for that, we should be thankful. So tonight, the title of our lesson is, and I pray you have your Bibles, Why Did Jesus Have to Come? Have you ever asked yourself that? Or you just started knowing about God and Jesus and he was just taught to you? God, we all say God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believed. He had to come on that just a night through the pages. I'm going to play a song. This what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to see what happened, and then we're going to see the plan of God after it happened. So I thought this song would be very appropriate for tonight, and it's called God's With the We got to have grace. And anyone who would like, God is given the opportunity. Hallelujah. God wants us to do. I don't know if you ever paid a lot of attention to it, but God you to be obedient. He provides the opportunity, and that's why I say when it's time to pray, God is affording the opportunity for anyone who would like to pray. So at this time, I'm going to play the song, and we'll come back and go to the throne of grace.
With no words of time.
Yes, God has a master plan. And when I played this song earlier to see if I would use it for tonight, my mind wandered a little bit when Adam and Eve had sinned and they felt shame and they hid and they, I would imagine, was godly sorry and just didn't know what to do. And immediately we're going to see in a lesson tonight that God stepped in with a master plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in a blessing business. And he's been doing it before his creation because God created us and we was formulated in his mind and we was all given a intended purpose before the foundation of the world. God has always been working on our behalf. So now it's time to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I have a button that has been pressed, and if anyone else would like to pray, you could press your button as well, because there's never too much prayer, and we're living in a time where we should be on our knees 24/7, because there's something on tonight. So call your number, and I think that's Minister Paula Cloud. You press the one button, unless it was an accident. I'm going to open the mic, and you can let us know.
Dear Heavenly Father, gracious
Minister
God.
Cloud.
Yes, you can't hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, darling.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, sweet Holy Spirit, we come with our heads humbled, bow down, just to say thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for the teaching that's going forward, and thank you for having a master plan. Lord, as I read the lesson, I realized just like Jonah, when Adam and Eve tried to hide, could run, but you can't hide. Because there's everywhere God is, he knows everywhere we are, and he knows all about us. Yes, that song was such a perfect song that God has a master plan. He planned for us to have eternal life, send us into the world, and he had to bring his son Jesus Christ to die, to pardon our sins. Lord, we thank you on tonight for your darling son Jesus that died, bled, and suffered on Calvary Cross for us. Lord, we thank you. As the songwriter said, I looked all over, but I couldn't find nobody, nobody greater than you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for greater. Thank you for greater, Father God. Thank you for your greater. Lord, we thank you on tonight for greater. Because greater is you that is in us, that he is in the world. And we say thank you on tonight, Father God. Lord, I'm glad that I can't hide from you. Because you'll find me out wherever I try to run. And I thank you because you chastise your people because you love them. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you can let me just wobble in my sin and don't try to chastise me. And let me go to the pits of hell. But I thank you hold us in the palm of your hand. And that it's your desire for us to live eternal life. And I thank you on tonight. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you for answering the call. The invitation that God had afforded for someone to pray. Thank you. Time to get into the lesson. And you guys been with me so long till you know that I always do an introduction. I'll talk about the character, the people, the places, the things, subjects. So tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about the book of Genesis. And here we go, y'all. The book of Genesis was written by Moses and is called one of the books of the law. The word Genesis means the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we see the hand of God at work as he spoke his creation into existence. All records recorded the beginning of time. Life, sin, salvation, the human race, and the Hebrew nation. You see, God spoke all things into existence by his word, and with the word, he designed the entire universe and mankind. God spoke it into existence. You see, that's why John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See, that's why when we say it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, or you read up on a scripture that say all things was created by Jesus, and you might say, well, but this is why. Because in the beginning, Jesus was with his Father. Hallelujah. You see, here we see that John is letting us know that Jesus and God are one and was always together. God created us because he wanted a people, a holy family. So he created us in his own image and likeness so that we could be on one accord. You know, they say God created us in his image. He created us in his image so we could have likeness, so we could take on the attributes of each other. And that would create us to be on one accord. You see, God wanted us to fellowship with him. And he provided all the provisions necessary for us to live in harmony with him and with each other. God had perfect knowledge of all things. His understanding is so much greater than ours, and he has no limits. God knows everything, and yes, he knew that man would fall and that sin would enter. You see, a part of God's master plan included the redemption of man. You see, before he spoke everything into existence and made the garden and placed Adam and Eve there, he already knew that man was gonna fall. So that's why I can tell you a part of his master plan also included the redemption of mankind. And that's why Jesus had to come. A part of God's master plan. Not that he orchestrated the fall. See, some people can't understand and separate that. God did not orchestrate or make Eve sin and Adam and make the devil tempt. And God did not orchestrate the fall, but he allowed it. Y'all know the rules of life with God, that nothing can happen unless God orchestrated or allowed it. This is one thing that he allowed. But you got to know that nothing has ever happened that God didn't know beforehand. And nothing has ever or will ever be able to take him by surprise. You see, God began his creation with the end in mind. I'm going to say that again. And you know that you're included. God began his creation with the end in mind, and is working all things out together for our good in his master plan. You see, he started and will complete all that is necessary all the way through eternity for us, for you, and for me. But it's our job to trust him. I ask you tonight, do you trust him with your whole heart? Do you trust him for everything, or you're only trusting with some things? You see, Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You ain't got to worry if God's plan is going to change, because God doesn't change. You don't have to worry if God's going to leave you, because the scriptures say he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You don't have to worry that any of us that has been given to Jesus Christ by the confession of our faith can be snatched away, because the scriptures say no heights, no depths, no things present, no things to come can separate us from the love of God. So you be confident that which has begun God is going to be able to perform it till Jesus come back for us. And I tell you, tonight Jesus is coming back. But before we can understand why Jesus had to come, we must first understand the fall of mankind, its cause and the effect. Cause and effect. You see, the cause was man sinned, and the effect was man was separated from God and destined to die without any way to be saved. But you see, in God's master plan and his perfect will for man, he decided that it would be accomplished through Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know tonight, there was no way that we could, in and of ourselves, with all of our works, our deeds, our giving, our studying, our praying, none of it, we couldn't do enough of that to save ourselves. We were all in need of a Savior. And we're going to see tonight that God sent his Son. The promise of God sending his Son. So we're going into the scripture now. We're starting in the third chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. Now the serpent was most subtle, which means cunning and crafty. Y'all know, trickery. Than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, ye has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know it that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. I want to just read through the scriptures, but I got to stop here because we see the standards of the world that was established when sin entered the world. We often say that it's the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. You see, look what Eve did. And when the woman saw the tree was good, lust of the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make her wise, pride of life, she did eat the fruit thereof. And she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. In verse 7, the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. Picture it, y'all. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. God told him, who told you that you were naked? Immediately God knew what had happened. God knew before he asked him. God knew the answer. God knew where he was because God is all-knowing. He's omniscient, all-knowing. But God sometimes just want to see what you have to say. And he said, who told you you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldn't not eat. To break this down a little bit, I want to let you know that the servant comes back. He says something, she says something. He don't give up. See, Satan, that's what Satan do. Satan don't give up on trying to get us to be what he want us to be. Called temptation, y'all. You see, the serpent comes back, not giving up. Temptation is Satan's invitation to give into his kind of life. Satan can only tempt. Y'all need to know that. He placed a thought in your mind trying to get you to accept his perception. And many times, once you accept it, and that was saying it becomes your reality, but we all know that all reality is not true. See, the young boys on the street today that can kill anybody, the ones that can walk in the store so boldly and take them people's stuff and walk out of the door, they have a reality that they afforded the privilege that they could do it. The ones killing on the street, it's their reality, is that it's something they got to do for whatever they think they got to do it. But I call that these days silly imagination. Their imagination has become so silly till it allows them to do anything that seems right in their eyes. It also allowed them to have it their way. You see, it was saying, if you eat, your eyes will be open. Lies, Satan. And you'll be at God's little g, knowing good and evil, half truth, not including the consequences. See, plenty of times people get you to do something, they'll tell you about the good, they leave out the consequences. And we all know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that so to set the world, set all the world go free. But I want you to know that there's a consequence with every sin, a consequence for you, and there's also a consequence for me. He told her half truth. He didn't tell her the consequences. But she accepted his perception. She took, she ate, she gave some to her husband. And you might say, well, why Adam? But you see, maybe after Eve didn't die immediately, Adam ate. And that moment of small rebellion, something so beautiful and free was shattered. God's perfect creation. You see, at that time, you know, there are seven dispensations of time. And at that time, it was the dispensation of innocence. Hallelujah. But once that happened, the dispensation of innocence was gone. And the dispensation of conscience entered. They didn't die physically at that moment. But the death process was put in motion. But they did die spiritually immediately. You see, they didn't understand fully as with us. They didn't understand, and many things we don't understand. All that God is saying to us, but we must trust and obey. God said, even when you can't hear my voice, trust my plan. I'm God, and yes, I do understand. You see, once the disobedience took place, everything was changed. Their eyes was open to things that they had never been concerned about. Ain't that something? When you start doing something wrong, it brings all these new things in, and now you got to be concerned with that. But you see, when you walk in the truth, and they say the truth make you free, you don't have to worry about this or that or this or that and some things. See, but they had to be concerned now with things they didn't have to be concerned with before. You see, sin produced shame. Shame lets you know that you are out of order. They knew that they were naked, and they immediately tried to cover it up with fig leaves. their lack of clothing and the innocent, which entail, which was represented a state of pure love of God, pure bliss, a pure bliss of love and innocent and purity. It was all shattered, y'all. You see, when we have done wrong and hear a voice of reasoning, we try to duck and hide. God called Adam, "Where art thou?" Conviction comes next. Adam said, "I heard you, but I was afraid and naked." Full knowledge of good and evil entered in. And the state of innocence was gone forever. God asked him, "Where are you?" Not because he didn't know where he was. And as I said earlier, he sometimes asks us things to direct us just to see what we're going to say or do. Not that he don't know it, y'all. And that's how sin entered the world. And consequences was attached. And you see, if we get to the 12th verse, there's something I wanted to say about this. God, when they were naked, I think it's going to be a little bit further back. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 12, and the man said, "The woman whom thou givest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." I want everybody on the program tonight and listening on the internet and on iPod and MP3s, however you may be doing it, I want you to know that this is where the blame game came from. This is when the blame game entered the world and is still operating with full force even now. People have a tendency to always want to blame someone else for their mistakes. But I want to tell you, when you do wrong, the right thing to do is to admit it and take your lick. You can't even, there's no forgiveness until there's admission. If you don't admit, it can't be fixed. You see, this is where the blame game entered. And as I said, it's been alive for over 6,000 years. The man blamed God, the woman you gave. Yes, God gave him the woman, but it was for his good. But sin blinds us from our blessings. We can't see our blessings. The woman blamed the serpent, who really didn't make her eat. He only suggested with lies. You got to remember, Satan can't make you do nothing. He can only suggest. And he used a lot of lies. So this lets us know we have to watch who we are listening to and who advice we follow. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed below all cattle and below every beast in the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow," consequences for sin, y'all, and the conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Consequences of sin. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And look at 18. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. See what happened? Adam and Eve decided to do what they wanted to do, big and bad enough to do what they wanted to do. And then we see where God turned around, and now it's time for him to do what he want to do. The consequences of sin, y'all. You see, here we see that Adam and Eve chose their course of action, disobedience. And now God chose his, if you read that scripture again for yourself. He could not allow sin to go unchecked. Adam and Eve's sin set in motion the world's tendency towards disobeying God. That's where it came from, y'all. That's why they say we have a sin nature. We all have inherited our sinful nature because of Adam and Eve. Now God cursed the serpent. He getting his consequences now, and made him our enemy. See, when the scriptures say his seed, they're talking about his little imps and his demons. And her seed, Jesus Christ, and all that would follow him. So that's why we have a war going on. And the war is between the flesh, which is representation of Satan, and the spirit, which represents Jesus Christ. That war is going on in our body every minute, every second of the day. Like Paul said, whenever I try to do what's right, evil is always present. And when I do the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. The war. The flesh and the spirit. God spoke of that right there in the third chapter. He said he would make them our enemy. His seed, which is his followers, and her seed, our Lord and Jesus Christ, and everyone that accept him, they would always be at war. The phrase bruise his heel refers to Satan's many attempts to defeat Jesus' life on earth. You know, after Jesus had fasted and he brought him and tried to get him to jump off the temple and tried to get him to do this, and he tried to stop him. He tried to block him. He even had the priests and even the people, the Jews, to come up against him and have a fake court, because they did it at night and that was illegal. You know, and they beat him unmercifully, and they hung him on a cross. See, that's the bruising. And Satan was in the hearts and the mind of the people that always went up against him when they spit in his face. Come on, y'all. When his friends walked away, when they called him a liar, always having him on trial. That's the bruises of his heel. He said, but they're going to make amends. And Satan, he said, Satan will bruise Christ's heels, but Christ will crush his head. And that's the foreshadowing. You see, we gone through life and we gone through this, but we already know how the story's end. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. Satan is defeated, but he just don't want to give up. Because Satan know that mankind is weak. And he's trying to pull. He know he going to die and go to hell. But he want as many followers as he can to get to go with him. So that's why he's not giving up. There are people that was Baptist all their life, and then you see them next week and they sit in and took the doctrine of Jehovah's Witness. Men and women and boys and girls go to jail, and they was Catholic and they was Lutheran, and they was supposedly loving on God, and now they're in prison and they become Muslims who don't look at Jesus as the Savior. See, Satan is not giving up. He has blinders on the eyes of our young men. And because they have the blinders on their eyes, they can't see anything but darkness. And they're walking around like Satan, trying to devour anyone they can. Come on, y'all. Because of the darkness, they got a veil he has placed on their eyes. They done took his perception. All of these leaders being brought up for child molestation and all of these sexual perversion things. He's still trying, y'all. He's shooting his fiery darts. And they are penetrating in some people. He won't give up, y'all. So you got to fight your good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, because God is speaking this in his master plan. Bible, where God prophesies the coming of a Messiah. Indication of the place to be able to. And Adam and Eve might be in the next section. Prophecy of a Messiah coming, y'all. And let me show you how. Let me show you this. The book of Genesis, the first chapter, was the creation. The second chapter, man was made. By the third chapter, man fell, sin entered, and that's the God knows truth. You see, God is introducing the part of his master plan concerning salvation through his son. In Genesis, the third chapter, y'all, you got to go through. They have 39 books in the Bible. So if Genesis is the first, you got to go through 38 books. They got 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then the New Testament starts where Jesus come. And the New Testament has 27 chapters. So there's 66 books in the Bible. And God introduced this in the third chapter of the first book. You need to be giving him some praise, honor, and glory. He's showing you how much he love on us in the midst of our sin. The woman going to suffer through childbirth. And her husband going to rule over her. Consequences. Adam, the ground get cursed because he didn't cut no grass. He didn't have to water. He didn't have to till. But now the ground is cursed, so they're going to have tears. They're going to have weeds and everything. And now he's going to have to work to eat by the sweat of his brow. Y'all heard that. That's where this comes from, by the sweat of your brow. See, whenever we do things our way, we should remember God always has the last say. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all things. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat of it, they would live forever. That's a whole nother story. But I'm going to give you just this little bit. You see, the tree of life was there, and if they would have eaten off the tree of life after they had sinned, they could never die. Death was necessary after they had sinned so there could be a resurrection. Hallelujah. Can you imagine living forever with pandemic after pandemic after pandemic after pandemic after pandemic after every storm, all of the flooding? You know, there could be no way out because you wouldn't be able to die. Think about it for just a little while. And that's the verses, my last verses, but I'll tell you this little bit right here. To God, this same curse of death is also what allowed Christ to become a man and to actually die on the cross as a ransom for us. If Adam had eaten from the tree of life after he had sinned, all mankind would have lived forever, estranged from God. We could never get to be with God because we wouldn't have the resurrection and we wouldn't have a Savior and our sins couldn't be forgiven. So we would have to live in a sin state forever. We'd have not been able to die. He would not have been able to die on the cross. In other words, if God did not subject sinful humanity with a curse of death, sinful man would have bowed back to God. If God did not prevent Adam from eating from the tree of life after he had sinned, a future redemption through the physical death of one Adam, descendants Jesus Christ, would not have been. And I told you that it was like the first prophecy made, and it was everything in the world. And you see, when God took and gave them the skin to cover themselves up, something had to die. Some blood had to be shed. And the poor animal that had to give it up was innocent. That's representation of Jesus. Jesus knew no sin. He was innocent. And he had to die so we could have the resurrection. So that's almost like a foreshadow of the sacrificial system that God put into place for his people to be able to fellowship with him. It couldn't take away the sins because you needed a man to die for a man. But he accepted the blood of the bulls and goats until Jesus had, you know, would come. Hallelujah, y'all. Is this a master plan or not? Is it a master plan or not? You know, it's so ironic that while the wages of sin is death, and while death is the last enemy that would eventually be destroyed at the final consummation of all things. The interest of physical death is also the provision that allows for the gospel of redemption. You know, that's how we talk about the cross and what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. How they whipped him all night long. And he never said a mumbling word. And even though they hung him on the cross, I want you to know tonight the nails couldn't hold him. He was being obedient to his Father. He had tunnel vision. He was on a mission to save our sin-sick souls, yours and mine. And you see, the Bible goes on to teach us, if we look at Romans, the 5th chapter and 17, a part of God's master plan, y'all. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, but much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. They saying what Adam and Eve put in place, one man, Jesus is going to be able to rectify it. What Adam put in place that we would all be on death row forever, dead men walking, after sin had came, because before sin there was no death. But after sin came, we was destined to die without a Savior. The scripture says what one man did, Adam, Jesus came along with, through the master plan of his Father and made everything all right. But you got to accept him. You got to know you need a Savior. You got to confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. And then you are adopted in the family of Jesus Christ and become an heir and a joint heir. That's why they say Adam was the first Adam. And whenever you hear them say that Jesus is the second Adam, that's what they're talking about. That's the lesson for tonight, you guys. Any questions, concerns? Somebody like to put a little bit in? Somebody think that something may not been, you know, could stand to be corrected? Now is the time. God has allowed us to have this forum where we could talk back to one another. He allowed us to have another time if someone don't know or understand something could ask the question. Because the dumbest question is the one that you need to ask and don't. There's no such thing as a dumb question unless you didn't ask it. But God has given us the opportunity, you guys. If anyone would have anything to say, they can say it at this time. And Minister Paul, I'm going to only open your mic because when you press the prompt to pray, I can't tell if you press it again. So Minister Cloud, your mic is open if you wanted to say something. If not, I'll close it back. And earlier tonight, Minister Elyria Mackey pressed her prompt, but I don't think she knew it was there. But at this time, since I see the hand waving at me, I'm going to ask her, would she lead us out with a benediction, a song, or a prayer, any way she see fit tonight. Minister Mackey, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
I don't know what's wrong with the phone.
There you go, baby.
You can
Minister
hear me
Mackey?
Now? You hear me now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We can.
Okay. If you just allow me one more time to tell you that Jesus is a friend of mine. Each day I press my way, asking that I won't stray, that Jesus will guide me every step of the way. I love Jesus more today than I did on yesterday. He woke us up early this morning, started us on our way. I love Jesus. More today, I love Jesus. More today than I did on yesterday.
Sister Mackie,
he woke me up early this morning and started me on my way. I love Jesus. I love Jesus more and more each day.
Yes, Sister Mackie, your phone was breaking up and we couldn't hear you. But every so many words. So I thank you for what you have given us. I thank you for your obedience. And at this time, if no one else has anything else to say, I'll do a benediction. Well, I know you guys know one of my favorite benediction is 2 Peter 3:18, because it's encouragement for what we need to be doing. And the scripture reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And let the church say amen. And this is our study and fellowship for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next week, same time. And I want you to know that this was sort of a part one. And next week, we talked about the prophecy of Jesus coming, and we're going to talk about him when he came. We talked tonight about he's going to come in sometime in the future, and we're going to put him in the present since being born in Bethlehem. So until then, everybody be blessed. Go in peace. And may the grace of God in his sweet community rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of you till we meet again. Good night and be blessed. God loves you more than you could love yourself. Good night.